Well, morning, morning, morning out there in Radio Land. What a great day it is to be alive in the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the day that anything is possible, for we serve a God of the impossible. He is more than enough, my friends. Whatever's facing you, whatever's coming against you, He is more than enough. He is able. He is able to save, deliver, heal, sanctify, provide, whatever it is, He is able. This is the day that we will rejoice and we will forget not His benefits. Amen. Well, Miss Jeannie, let's start with you. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I was doing all right, and Hannah was sitting beside me, and she got up and left. I'm trying to process it.
I saw that. Try not to take it personal. Don't take
I
it
personal.
I thought
she was telling me to move away from her. She was pointing over to the other seat.
All right,
I like her over there because I can look at her when she's talking. Over here, I have to spin around. And
stretch your hands forward, and let's pray against disunity this morning.
Did you wear your deodorant?
I did.
Okay. Oh, well, it is great to see you again, Miss Jeannie.
Yay.
Miss Hannah, how are you doing this morning?
Still full of gratitude. I'm loving the cold, too. So far. Now, come when on. It gets, like, to zero, woo, we can go keep it at 30s. But
I loved it.
I like it. Yeah. I like it.
Got my sugar-free hot chocolate in here. Hallelujah. And Miss Crystal, how are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing great, but I really don't know what's wrong with y'all saying y'all love this cold weather.
Look, I've
had to go out. You should have seen me. I looked like an Eskimo yesterday going out to feed animals. I mean, I had on muck boots. I had on insulated overall things. I had on a jacket. I had on a snow hat and the hood to my jacket. You should have seen. And two pair of gloves. And I went out there, and it was, what, 30?
Yeah.
I went out there.
I'm so cold-natured.
Tennis shoes, jeans, and a T-shirt.
Oh, my gosh. No.
It was great.
I could barely walk. I look like those little kids when you put the big jackets on them.
One of my favorite memories, my girl was probably three years old. And I bundled her up to go out and to play in the snow and all that. And she was walking. You can't see on the radio.
Like me yesterday.
She was like,
stiffed arms out.
I can't get up. It was great. I'll never forget it.
Yeah. That would have been me if I'd have slipped or anything. I wouldn't get in that.
Well, I'm enjoying the weather too, because it means that Christmas is right around the corner.
Hmm.
I'm so excited for this year's Christmas. I have
expecting
no idea why.
Huh?
Huh?
You expecting something?
No, I'm just really excited.
Just like the season, huh?
I guess so. I'm usually a Grinch. Like, I really am. I'm usually a Scrooge, and this year I'm just pumped.
You feel good. You're doing good. It does make a difference in your mind. It really does.
I'm really excited. I'm excited to for the desserts during the Christmas holiday.
Oh, God. Didn't you just have 10 in one day or something like that?
It was 5, Miss Crystal, for one in one dinner. I said, just bring me one of everything. It looks really good. And so there was 6 desserts you could choose from each night on the cruise on the main dining. And I didn't order the cheese plate. I didn't want that, but everything else, like, just bring me one of it. I want to try it all.
Y'all, the food talking is people I have ever met in my life. I thought you were going to be spiritual.
Right? We are. This is very. This
we
is
eventually
feasting.
Get there.
I thought he was going to say, God's really going to move this Christmas. He said, "No, I want
he
more.
He is through the pumpkin
pie."
The Lord is moving in amazing ways, and I don't know. I'm just really excited to try to slow down a little bit this Christmas and just spend some time, real quality time with the kiddos and the family and friends, and make this season less busy and commercialized and more intimate and bonding and community
family.
And fellowship. I think that's what I'm really, we put up some Christmas lights and we do our Christmas trees, and we'll buy a few. We usually tell our kids 2 to 3 presents each and give them a limit. It's really low.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't really get nothing too big. It's just I'm really excited to watch a lot of movies, spend a lot of time, fellowship and community, and let them serve and love others too. And so I think that's
I
why
like
I'm
that it slows us down.
Yeah.
Me
I
too.
Like
I was
that.
Thinking about that.
I like a fire. I haven't made my first fire yet because I haven't been home. Too busy. But I'm going to get there.
It's not been cold enough for a fire yet, has it?
Yes, it has.
I saw a lot of fireplaces going yesterday.
I smelled a lot of fireplaces this morning.
No, it is. It was chilly, but I'm with Miss Hannah. I just I didn't mind yesterday too much. I just
I was
the
home,
cold.
So I didn't mind. But when you got to go in it, I didn't.
To me,
I know I've been here 9 years. I mean, it's 9 years. No, December 1st, I'll be here 9 years, and it I still think Louisiana blood is in me because I oh, still
it's
in
you. It comes out your mouth all yeah. She's got
it hurts all the time. It just does when I go out in the cold. Go ahead, Miss Hannah.
Yeah. No, I was gonna say as long as the wind stays away, because in my opinion, yesterday was nothing compared to the night before when the wind was blowing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, if the wind will just stay at bay, then it's better.
Right.
But when the wind is going, yeah, I mean, it was 40, but it made it, to me, feel like it was 20.
Well, it said something like 40, but it was like, feels like 17 or something like that. I mean, that's extreme, but it was something like
that.
It
was. It was that low. It was
that can stay away in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Or those zeros
people
and negatives.
People that have to go out, they have to. Yeah. I always worry about them. Yeah. That wind, it'll sneak up on you.
Yeah, that wind is where it gets treacherous at.
And then if you have babies blowing everything off of them, I'm like, their hat's gone, blanket's gone. I'm like, just wind, go away.
Keep the leaf blower by the front porch.
Yep.
I will say, though, I think Baby Ezra likes it because he's very hot natured. He gets hot really easily. You know, he's got a lot of insulation in there. So I think he likes it.
Yeah.
I've got to win my way back into his heart a week. He's honestly, unless it was Hannah and Ethan, he's hardly ever reached for somebody when I've held him. Like, he was just content. And I held him Sunday for the first time in a week, and he reached for somebody. My heart was broken. My heart was broken.
Well, he wouldn't have anything to do with me. And then the other day in the gym, he let me hold him for quite a while. So
I'm going to have to do something to win his heart back. But proverb of the day, chapter 29, verse 1. He who is often reproved, yet stiffens his neck, will suddenly be broken beyond healing.
Oh, wow.
I love that Proverbs. Catches you, don't it?
Yeah,
he who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck, which basically means when one is corrected, he rebels, he bucks up, he's prideful, he's arrogant, he's not going to receive it, he's never going to receive it, he's right and everybody else is wrong, will suddenly be broken beyond healing. That pride comes for the what?
Fall.
And so... It's a proverb of warning, and I believe it's a warning to humble ourselves under that mighty hand of God. Be soft, be pliable, be the clay in the potter's hand, and if we have to receive correction, receive it, and not stiffen your neck. And so, great proverb there.
Amen.
Well, okay. I lost my computer.
It's right there.
I know. It disappeared. That's okay.
Is it back?
I have plenty inside.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Anybody heard any good quotes lately? Anything you read and just stuck out with you or heard and you just thought, wow, that's good?
I saw a good, I would have to find it though, an A.W. Tozer one. Mm. I don't know if I'll be able to find it.
I heard one this morning on Flashpoint. I don't think I'm quoting it correctly, but it's pretty close. I'm paraphrasing what the quote actually is, and I can't even remember who it was by. But he said, when you speak the truth, how did he say it? When you speak the truth and people don't like it or whatever, you're pretty much speaking war or something, because don't worry about it is pretty much what he was saying. When you speak truth, there will be people that come against it. But you have to continue to speak the truth, just accept that there will be war.
Mm-hmm.
But discerning the truth and speaking it is worth any conflict or war you may face.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
I got one that.
Sure.
I mean, it was me. The quote was come up out of a place, though. I just had some stuff yesterday, and I was kind of puzzled by. You know, sometimes I don't know if you guys feel this or not, but you get real frustrated or you get out of your character. It's just not like you to be like that. And when it kind of comes on you really fast and you're like, what's going on here? And that's what I do. And that's what happened to me last night. I got real frustrated and I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, what is going on? So I carried with me at night. And then this morning I was talking to the Lord about it. And I texted a friend about it last night, and so I just said, he said something about, I said, I don't know what was going on last night. Maybe the Lord is doing something wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I love that he's way, that sometimes what he's doing is way outside of us. And I said, I love that he's way outside of me when he's doing wonders, but he's way inside of me when I need to talk.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's
Amen.
Good.
And that's, you know, that's where I found myself last night. And I, you know, I know I'm not the only one, but I when I came to the Lord with it, you know, immediately. And of course, his mercy being made new this morning. That's usually one of the first scriptures that pops up in your head after you've done something or said something that you didn't really feel was right. His mercy was new to me this morning, and I thought, you know, his mercy's made new every morning. Well, he's not making it new. It was perfect when he had it.
That's right.
What's being made new is me.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I have a quote that you said to me. I thought I might concede the date in 2023, and you said, "I'm denying someone else's words the power to overcome God's word, written word, in the blood of Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're looking at me like, I said that.
Well, we don't have to worry about no big head here.
Yeah.
I've seen that face before on people.
Yeah, it's like.
No, like I'll remind somebody of something they said, and they're like, oh, that was Holy Ghost. Because I have
I've
no
done that. People
memory.
Say, do you remember back in, and you spoke this word to me, and I'm like, I'm sure it was God, but I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't remember.
That's good, though. That's good that you do.
Yeah.
You know, that's so important that we remember what brought us out, what he said to us, and saying, you know, I've got totes just full of the things that I wanted to remember. And I sit down sometimes and start going through
them
again.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Somebody sent in what the Lord spoke to them this week. Order prevents distraction.
That's good.
I'm in so much trouble.
Are you distracted, Jeannie?
Maybe, I think.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. I'm really bothered right now because there was a quote that Miss Debbie had said yesterday. There was a saying she said afterwards because, I don't know, Miss Debbie probably, it was probably close to, I don't know, 9:20, 9:25 by the time she actually left the station yesterday because we stood out front in the lobby and talked for a long time, and she said something, and I was just like, that's so good. But I can't remember exactly how she said it. That's what's bothering me. I should have wrote it down right then.
Do you remember the substance?
It was humility, preparation, being ready for it, and just ready for the mission. And it was a really good I remember the whole conversation, but there was a quote, there's a saying she said, and I just looked at her and said, that's so good. But I just can't remember how exactly it was said. That's what's going to bother me. I was hoping I could remember it because I'm.
Well, I've got one more from T.F. Sure. Tenney. You know who T.F. Tenney is?
I heard the name.
He's a good one.
I don't follow
Tommy Tenney's dad. Okay. When you can't understand God's present, not present, his present, then you trust his history. God is not limited by our understanding. Just That's because good. We don't understand doesn't mean that God is not in it. God is more than equal to any problem or challenge that faces you today.
I like
that's
that.
A good one.
Yeah,
like
that's good.
I have to rely on his history many times.
Oh, yeah.
But it's enough.
Yeah.
It's enough.
Uh-huh. Spiel that song. Keep going because it just totally jumped out of my head. He'll do it again. If you just take a look at where you are now, where you've been. Yeah.
Reminded me of evidence all throughout my history.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one, too. Yeah.
Well, before we get into Hosea, I wanted to bring something to the table this morning because I guess it's TikTok famous or popular now, trending, and it's due with the church, so I was gonna kind of address it today. I don't ever get on TikTok or much social media or anything anymore, but yesterday showed me why I don't. Because before you know it, you've spent so much wasteless time and the algorithm starts showing you nonsense stuff. And before you know it, I was watching stuff about first day in prison, what happened, CPS workers, why you should never pay your federal taxes, and something else. Like
insurance,
all these videos.
Insurance is ripping you off.
Yeah, like all these videos started popping up. I'm like, well, like, why does these even show you this nonsense? And really, it all started just because I wanted to watch a video. And now this sounds a lot worse than it is. So do not tone out on me, okay?
Uh-oh.
It's called a dirty soda. Now, I don't know if y'all have seen this or not. It's where they're taking sodas and they're mixing them with like the creamers and stuff like that. So there's nothing alcoholic. It's not dirty in that fashion. It's just the name of it. And some of them look really good. So I was like, I saw one, somebody sent me something, and I'm like, that looks really good. Like a mango Sprite and all these other ones. Like you could do like Winter Wonderland and you could do all these other things. And so I'm like, I just watched a few of them. Before you know it, I'm watching about the first day in prison. That's how TikTok takes you. Like, right? Am I wrong? Like,
wait, is the Lord trying to speak? Are these leading us to prison? I don't know. I'm just kidding.
But I mean, like,
prisoner for Christ.
And then you went all the way to somewhere else. But then in the midst of all these, there was, I guess, a TikTok trend where this woman called a bunch of churches and asked if the church would give her a can of baby formula for her starving baby. And she doesn't have a baby. This was a ploy to trick and manipulate the church. And just, she called it exposure of the church. And she had ill intent, but it was really discouraging and disheartening, the church's responses. 26 churches were called. One church and one mosque said they would give the baby formula.
Oh, wow.
And some of these were big churches.
That's discouraging.
26 churches and only one church said yes. Now, and the mosque said yes, too.
I would have asked her to come by and bring the baby.
Yeah, I would just, the one pastor who said yes, you know, he's notorious for helping and loving and serving the community. And but from what I can tell, 25 of the 26 churches said no. And even though I'm really against the intent of why right. it was done, to me, as a pastor, that was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm with you, Miss Jeannie. Like, if you're so scared of being abused or taken advantage of, I think eventually you've got to check your own heart for pride and arrogance. Mm-hmm. Like, don't you dare do that to me. Like, Jesus got burned at times. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying we always get burned.
Right.
But I think there's wisdom to be used in all this. And I'm not like going to, I would be with you. Like that one pastor said, bring them. Like, bring the baby. Let's
absolutely.
Get, that's what I would say too. Like, bring the baby by. We'll get it formula. We'll get it diapers. We'll get that baby whatever it needs. I mean, I'll put my eyes on it to know it's real. Like, we give out diapers here and we cross out the barcode so they can't take them back. Like, I'm not saying you don't use wisdom.
Right.
But has the church got so hard-hearted against abuses of the system that we are in refusal to help and serve and love people?
That's the world's way.
And that we got to check our heart at that point.
You know, it still remind me of another saying. Sunday, I was going to pray over the offering. And it was, we were getting ready to do it. This came up inside of me, and I just saw it in a greater way, and it's going to speak to this. Because so many people say, well, you know, I see people and they're always asking for money. I don't know. I think they're cons. I think they're this. You know how we do. but he said, I think it was, I'm pretty sure it was Peter. But he said, you know, or maybe not. But anyway, he said, as long as the money's yours, mm-hmm. right? As long as it's yours, you have the power to do with it whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But when you release it, it becomes God's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I saw that in a greater way, Sunday, that we don't really capture that. We still release it and think we have control and Lord over
it. Preach mm-hmm. that.
I mean.
Preach that.
But when you release the money out from your heart, from the cheerful place it was supposed to come from, I'm going to give to that. Don't second guess it. Don't worry about it any longer because you've released it to the Lord.
Right, it's between
it's his
person.
Now. Yeah, it's his to do with. Don't try to take it back.
Yeah.
Don't try to control it.
Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead.
Well, I just thought of, when you said that, I thought of what we read in Hosea yesterday, chapter 3, verse 1, go again. Go again.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember just recently, there was a person that I found out took advantage of some generosity, major generosity, really took advantage of it, and my heart wanted to go to anger at first. And I had two friends who I had a friend and a wife who corrected me real quickly. And you know what I did the next day? I gone again.
Yeah. Come on.
To the same person.
That's right.
I go again. And it's not saying I'm using no wisdom, but I'm going to make sure the heaps of coal are there. I'm going to make sure the love is there. I'm going to make sure they, now, is there times that we correct and, you know, challenge and push and edify? Sure. Absolutely. But when did we become the when did we become the benevolence police? Mm-hmm. When did we become that? When did we become so political and harsh-hearted and you know, that there may be people taking advantage of a system, but there probably is babies that's starving because of it. And do we let children and babies become collateral damage because we're afraid to be taken advantage of or system to be abused? And that's where I think and I believe in this, like, it was, in my opinion, disgusting what the woman did, because it was manipulation and seducing and really not like in an intimate way, but like, you know, it was trying to manipulate and to try to bring discontent and discouragement and discord and all these kind of things. But I do think that sometimes even the Lord uses that to expose the condition of the heart of the church. And
I remember one time I was going in university downtown Louisville. I was pregnant, and I was just going in, and this guy comes up to me and says, "Hey, man, can you help me out? You know, I'm trying to get back to Ohio, trying to get to my family." And I was like, "Hold it." I don't know if it was because I was pregnant or if it was the Lord, but I just said, don't tell me the story. I don't want to know the story. Here's what I want to tell you. The Lord told me, go ahead and give you some money. So know this, before you could ever tell me the con, before you could ever tell me all of what you're trying to deceive me with, the Lord told me to give you the money. So I'm going to give you the money, not because of your story, but because the Lord wants to give to you today. And that's, and he tried to talk to me some more, you know. No. I said, nope, I already told you, I ain't hearing it. And it was so, but I'll never forget that day and the look on his face, because he knew that he is not getting money today because he had a story that he could tell or lie to me about or whatever. And, you know, it's so important that we give to the Lord. I can't stress that enough. Who are you giving to?
It's good. Mm-hmm.
You know, because so many times, I remember a guy walked in the office one day. This is years ago. Can y'all help me out? We don't have diapers. Well, I just turned, got the money, and handed it to him. And I'll never forget the look on the secretary's face. She was like, how do you know he's not conning you? I said, I don't. I don't. I'm giving to the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not giving to you. I'm meeting the need. Jesus said, if someone asks you to walk a mile, walk two.
That's exactly where I'm at right now.
He didn't say, unless they're conning you.
No.
Go ahead.
No, yeah. I mean, he said, you've heard an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. I mean, he just goes on and on. He never says, if they do this, ever, in these verses.
Yeah.
If you, they do this, then give them this.
Right. Yeah. If you give with the heart of the giving, the one who is the giver, do you really think there's a possibility that there's, oh, no, I gave to the Lord. I lost that one. I gave to the Lord. Lost that one. It's impossible. Yeah. It's impossible.
Exactly. It also says, give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you.
There is times of correction. There is times of raising the bar for people that you know are conning you. Mm-hmm. And you do. You ask the right questions. You do whatever. They don't really want to hang around for that anyway.
Right.
If they're conning you. But, yeah, I'm a giver. Yeah, I'm going to chip off the old block.
And you know, it's if you have a baby that's starving and you call us, we're going to make sure.
Sure.
Whether it's me, I'll make sure personally you have formula for that baby.
Absolutely.
And if you call me three times, you know, I'll probably help you out. And I do think there comes a time, as you says, that there is times for sitting down and being like, hey, what can we do? Like, what do we do moving forward? Like, what can I do to help you get on your feet? Or how can we make this situation better? How can we help you with child care? See, this is where I think the political system has infiltrated the church and the political spirit, because we're trying to orchestrate organization and businesses and things instead of thinking like fathers and mothers. Like, when we think of discipleship and when we think of maturation and we think of training and equipping, we're thinking of running them through the mill, of getting them to be like me or getting them to be like them. But instead of that, we need to think like fathers and mothers. And if there is a problem with my kids, it's not just telling them what to do. I've got to help them prepare, and I've got to walk them through, and I've got to be there to equip them and let them soar and give them the tools and the resources necessary. I'm not just trying to get them to 18 to move out of the house. I want them to be fully equipped and prepared, and whatever I can do to serve that mission. And I think if the church thought more like fathers and mothers, loving people, and loving them like their own children, like you may see younger people that you're frustrated with, instead of always harsh and critical, and or they're doing this or they're not doing that, love them. Like, what can I do to serve you? What can I do to do this? And I mean, it's like, I want, me and Heather want to, like, this is just personal, but I'll say it openly because they won't care. Me and Heather love Hannah and Ethan like they're our kids.
Aww.
Like, we do. We love them tremendously. Their family does.
Kid. Yeah.
My life with Hannah and Ethan is not just to get them in a mission or use their giftings. I want them to know that if they need us at 12 o'clock to watch Ezra so they can go, we're there. Like, I want them to know that whatever it takes for them to be successful in life, we're going to be there.
That's right.
That's fathering and mothering. I'm sick of this game of organization and running the sheep through the mill and putting them here and putting them there because it's comfortable and it's easy and we've got this great. No, I want to get down. I want to get dirty. I want to get with people because that is where people's lives are really changed.
Right.
Just running them through the processes and controlling and manipulating, I'm sick of it. I want to see real discipleship and fathering and mothering.
I got a scripture for you when you was back, when you were saying it's not that we never correct or we never sit down and say, hey, what are we going to do moving forward? How are we going to help you? Obviously, this is an ongoing problem, whatever. Mm-hmm. But that's exactly what they did in Acts.
Absolutely.
When he said, the 12 called the multitude of the disciples to them and said, it's not reason for us that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. So, brethren, look out among you. Find 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. And see, I think sometimes we don't have, though, it may be one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't seek for those people who are really full of the Spirit of God and ready to help, ready to do. We look for the one that maybe, well, they got money.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was God's way.
Yeah.
To what? Meet the needs.
Yeah.
It was to meet, but not just meet them. Why would they need to be full of wisdom, honest report, and the Holy Ghost? Why would they need that if we're just going to give?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not just going to give.
We're going to
teach.
Sow.
Teach.
Yes.
Instruct.
Come on.
Father, mother, yeah.
I remember a woman showed up here a couple years ago, and I don't know names. I didn't get her name, but she showed up needing gas. And a young person was kind of witnessing all this, and she was probably 16 or 17 at the time. And you know, I said, you know what, give me a minute, I'll take you down to the gas station down here and I'll get you the gas. I may not send the money with them. What I usually do, if it's a place they need to stay or food they need or gas, I'll go do it myself, or we'll call the place and say we're going to cover this or something like that. Instead of giving them the money, we cover it and pay for it. But I took this person down there, and this young person kind of was getting to see this whole thing play out. And when right before I left, this person said, me and my wife, and this was a woman, like me and this partner. And the young person's eyes got really big. And this, I said, I tell you what, I'm gonna get this, and we're gonna meet you down there. And I was going to have an opportunity to pray with this person. I had an opportunity to witness this person. I had an opportunity to get this person their gas they needed. And before I left, the young person turned to me and said, are you still going to help them?
Mm.
Like, do we help people like that? That's what they asked me. And I said, absolutely. And I said, you know what? We're going to pray for them.
Yeah.
And I'm going to share the gospel
entrance
with them. And we're going to share it. And we're going to love them. And that person had heard their whole life, like, those people or these people. Mm. Benevolence doesn't have criteria. Like, benevolence is literally giving without expectation. Without, if your giving is always conditional, it's not benevolence, it's transaction. It's usually a business transaction at that point. I'm going to give you this, but what are you going to give me in return? That ceases to be benevolence. That ceases to be generosity. That is now a business transaction because it's conditional. And I think the church has learned that very well. we're going to give you something, but we're also going to take something. And you know what I see in Jesus? He freely gave his life for me while I was yet a sinner and had nothing to offer. And you know what today? I still have nothing to offer. I have nothing to offer worthy of his death and worthy of his generosity and worthy of his giving his life. He gave it because he loved us.
That's right.
Amen.
He gave it because he loved us. He came to earth to die for me, not because I'm worthy, deserving, or that kind of good person or somebody who's earned it. I've done all of the opposite of those. Yet he freely gave his life. And I know we're struggling to get to Hosea, but I've been Gomer, and yet he still chases. Mm-hmm. He still chases. So as we said yesterday, I really do want to be a go-again person, mm-hmm. and I want to keep going again. Yeah.
And he loves those people, whoever those people are to you. That's who he's after.
That's it.
Because he found you. You were those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't care what you think of you. Yeah. You were those people who was without him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Oh. And so all that to say this, after my first day of prison, TikToks and sodas mixed with mango and pineapple and all these other things, this hit me. This hit me hard. And I mean this with sincerity, and I don't mean this anything other ways than this. If you really do have a starving baby, call us.
Yeah.
Call mm-hmm. us. Call us today. Amen. And we'll make sure you get formula. We won't. We will not be one to say no. Amen.
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 And I know there's a lot of other churches locally that will be the same way mm-hmm. completely. Say.
Yeah, we know a guy.
Yeah, we know a guy who has a cattle on a thousand hills. And my guy, his government never goes on shutdown.
That's right.
Amen.
Of his government.
Ooh, yeah, I'll preach.
Of his That's peace, good. There is no end. That'll and of preach. His
It'll
government.
Never shut down.
Amen. All right. Well, I guess we'll go to break here, come back in here, and we'll release these ladies to take off. Tuesday question number one, sponsored by the Sicilian Bank. How old was Joash when he became king? How old was Joash when he became king? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break. All right, we are back here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. Greg Carwile sending Carwile quote of the day. I like that. Courage only exists where fear is present. I couldn't agree with that, mate.
That's a good one.
We were preaching on Gideon not too long ago. And we learned that Gideon did it afraid. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, Gideon did it in the middle of the night because he was afraid of this people. But he still did it. And some things in life, you're going to have to just do it afraid.
That's right.
Just do it afraid. But still do it. And faith doesn't mean that fear isn't there. Faith is that my faith is going to be bigger than my fear. My trust is going to be bigger than my fear. My courage is going to be bigger than my fear. And so... good job, Greg. I like that quote a lot. Miss Brenda Sims says amen to Miss Jeannie's statement from earlier. Release it. Period. It's done. Period. Just period. It's done. It's done.
Yeah. Amen.
I like how you said that, Miss Jeannie, though. We got to remember we're given unto the Lord. And he said, when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. And his disciples like, what?
When?
You never went to prison. Yeah. And he said, when you've done it to one of these, mm-hmm. you've done it to me.
That shows that we don't recognize what we're operating in when we give.
Mm-hmm. So good.
We don't.
Right.
Or we wouldn't be going, when did we do that?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We do have an answer for this trivia question. How old was Joash when he became king? 7 years old. Brother Steve Huggins got it correct.
Wow. It's the week of the kings.
I swore it was 8. Somebody was 8 and somebody was 12.
Josiah was 8.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's who I'm thinking of.
Yep. And they're so close.
What was the name you said?
Joash.
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Josiah. So Joash is actually the youngest.
Yeah. Now, Josiah was the one, though, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm with you, Miss Crystal, because I got all these little Jays confused, little 8 and 7-year-olds running kingdoms.
And ours are playing in the dirt somewhere.
Yeah, we're just trying to get ours not to, like, you know, go crazy.
Get off the game. Get off the phone.
And they're running kingdoms. I think Josiah was the one, though. Wasn't he that found the scribe, the Bible, in the closet, basically.
In the rubble.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. That's where I have to remember Josiah and Joash.
And so, I don't really know much about Joash. I just know that he's the youngest, because I used to think Josiah was the youngest.
Josiah was like seven years old.
You thought 8 years old was crazy? How about seven?
That means that means Cloud is running a kingdom.
Oh, wow.
He would like that.
I would have loved it at seven to run a kingdom, but I would have crashed.
He would say, okay, guys, let's go to the war.
Actually, though, if I would have followed the Spirit, because I was a lot more, had a lot more faith. Easy, you know, that childlike faith. I would just, whatever the Lord said, you know. And I
could see her running the kingdom, because you were like, as a little girl, because, you know, you're a leader. You're a born leader. So
I loved it. I mean, I just loved the Lord, and I feel like I have to fight against more flesh now than I did then.
Come on.
Because I was just like, and I'm just, you know, I have more flesh. But
that's what I was going to say. I was not going to say that. After last week, I got a couple more pounds.
I think y'all missed the point there. Yeah.
No. But it is. There's something about, like, if you are saved, if you're born again as a kid, like, there's, I mean, it's like nothing.
No limits.
You're tackling hell with a squirt gun. Like,
yeah, 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 yeah. That's true.
Like David and Goliath.
That is what you feel like at no matter what age, when you truly become born again.
And walking in the Spirit.
And you I thought I could take every mountain.
Oh, yeah.
I did. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I long for that person.
That beginning,
I'm back seeking that person who was so sold out to him, and was nothing was impossible.
Yeah.
Nothing. So,
but life comes, and we begin to, and so we have to.
They tame us down.
That's what I said, yeah. Every morning, get up, and your mercies are new. Here we go again.
Let me have the...
Oh, Lord.
He's coming back again.
I swear, that rapture happens.
I didn't look up this time. I was...
That's Miss Jeannie's phone.
last time that happened, I kicked my shoes off. I was like, what am I doing kicking my shoes off? I ain't going to need no help. I'll just go on up.
Exactly.
I don't want to be held down. All right.
Yeah, I was joking with the kids the other day. Had some kids over, and Ethan, he wasn't in the room. And I said, oh, I guess he got raptured out. We're all left behind. Baby's gone. He's gone. I guess we're all.
Yeah, we had just come home from the trip, and Eliza wanted us to stop outside the house when we come back to give her a hug on the way back to our house, which is, a whopping, 20, 30 feet?
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there giving Eliza a big hug, and Paisley Miller goes, hey, don't forget that I'm here too. and then I had to, I think Paisley was trying, I think she was as happy to see me as Eliza was. She was like, hey, Aaron, don't forget that I'm here.
They got really excited. They were like, oh, they're here. And everybody just starts running outside.
I did look at Heather on the way home. I said, I hope Ezra didn't forget me. But he did.
But kids, babies are like that. Because I remember Brett. I felt the same way. If I wasn't around him for a little bit, he'd move on.
Yeah.
Like we had, we had that little bond, and then he would find somebody else to replace me. And I'm like,
I'm usually his world. And I think it was Thursday night. It was Bible study. And she said, well, you want to go with Grandma, or you want to stay here with us? I'm going to stay with y'all. I was like, my heart.
Yeah. When Ezra reached for that person, I was like, oh, no, I'll never go on vacation again.
You must idolize me. I'm Grandma.
Don't leave me. Oh, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
bring him some candy. He's back, my friend. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. I was just seeing where we're going this morning. Who's got it? Who's got it this morning?
Oh, are we not doing Hosea?
We'll just move on to what you all got. We can finish Hosea tomorrow.
This crew was getting into Hosea last week.
Yeah, but that's chapter two. That's my chapter.
Okay, y'all, I apologize for some of it. I love when my phone goes off. It's a great shofar. It's a great one. I have to leave it on, though. So
yeah.
Do you ever just look up? Like when the shofar happens?
Everybody's so used to my phone ring now that whenever it goes off, everybody stops and goes, throws their hands up in the air.
Maybe it's a tool, you know, the Lord's using it to get people ready.
Yeah, that's a good one, because it startles me every time. But it also, I always think it's the box two, something going off, you know, is what I'm thinking. Like
Aaron, oh, like in the morning Aaron, we have a shofar.
Like Aaron pushed the wrong button or something. I always look, and then.
That happens a lot.
Then I see Jeannie scramble for her phone, so then we know what it is.
Where are y'all going?
I'm waiting.
I wanted you to read. If you got something, you, are you?
No.
You
got,
y'all could tell we don't. Back on? You could tell we are spirit led in here because we always like you got it. No, I don't know. You got
no,
it.
No, he's got it.
That scripture that you read a moment ago, when you wax. Yeah, read that again, and I'll tell you what the Lord gave me. Go ahead.
Okay, he said.
What is it? Acts what?
It's Acts 6, okay. And it's when the 12 were. They brought to him the fact that the widows and the orphans and the people weren't being taken care of. And so he says in verse 3, so, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom you can appoint over this business.
When you said the word wisdom, what I was studying yesterday was the wisdom of God. And so when you said that, it kind of sparked, because I was also going, when I was reading, it was about the wisdom from the Holy Spirit, how God gives us wisdom. And so I'll just take a little journey real quick. I read pretty fast, so if you can't follow along, I get it. I mean, not that you can't read. I'm saying I'm giving chapter and verse, but we're not going to wait for you to get there is what I'm trying to get out. So, but Proverbs, and we all know this, it's translated by the rabbinical writings of the Book of Wisdom. And when I looked up just translations and things, it's the key word in the whole book of Proverbs is wisdom. God's trying to give wisdom, and it's the ability to live life skillfully. And what I was getting out of this is God wants us to know what to do. You know, we go around, Lord, I just don't know what to do. How many times have we said that in our life? I really just don't know what to do. Even in simple day-to-day tasks, raising Ezra, you know, whatever Jeannie's doing, you know, even with her husband and things, and me with feeding animals. No, I'm just kidding. Whatever God has to give.
He does care, yeah.
He does. All these things, he gives us wisdom. And so I was just going to read a few of the chapters of, not the whole things. I'm just giving scriptures. I'm going to start simply in Proverbs 1. And it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for learning what wisdom and discipline are. Is saying this is why he gave this to learn what wisdom and discipline are, for understanding insightful sayings, for receiving wise instruction in righteousness, justice, and integrity. And this is for teaching shrewdness to the inexperienced, knowledge and discretion to a young man. A wise man will listen and increase his learning, and a discerning man will obtain guidance. This is for understanding a proverb or a parable. Jesus gave 38 parables. So Jesus knew about Proverbs. He knew about the way God teaches. The words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. And it's, let me just keep on. 2:1-9 says, my son, if you accept my words and store up, that means there goes back to what we talked about. It was a couple weeks ago about meditating on, getting it in your heart, staying there. it was last week, pondering on the wisdom.
Right.
Listening closely to wisdom and direct your heart to understanding. Furthermore, if you call out to insight and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek it like silver, there's a key word, if you do these things, if you go after God and search for it like hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. I mean, God wants us to know His knowledge, His wisdom. And how many times have you not known what to do? You seek the Lord on it, and you go with your peace, and oh my God, it just, it flows. And it's like, I would have never thought that myself. I would have never known to do that myself. It just happened because I prayed.
Right. Yes, I do have a scripture.
Yes, go ahead.
I want to definitely speak into this. This is real personal to my life, and I've lived my life with this revelation. But he said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27, God has chosen the foolish things. I put me right in there. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty, the base things of the world, the things that are despised, God chose.
Right.
The things that are not to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh, this was the point, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Mm. Mm. So you don't have it together like you think you do. But of him, this is the scripture that was a revelation to me, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. Of God in Christ Jesus, God made him wisdom to you. Mm. You are he who of God is made unto us
right.
wisdom.
Right.
Man, I'm telling you, when that thing lit off inside of me years ago, it changed my life totally, mm-hmm. and it's still to this day I walk in it. Whenever I don't know what to do,
right,
the wisdom of God has to be there.
That's right.
It has to.
Yes.
And I wait on it.
Yeah.
Because I know it. Why? Because I'm in Christ Jesus. It came with him.
And he wants to give it
Amen.
To us.
Ooh, I know.
That's the thing. He wants.
He does.
He don't want a bunch of ignorant people. And I don't mean like stupid. I mean like you don't. Ignorant just means you don't know. You know, and he doesn't want us to walk around like that. He wants us to walk around in his wisdom. Like right. you're saying, in Christ, knowing that he gives us the spirit of wisdom and knowledge, you know?
And it'll be there.
I thought you were going to go to the scripture, but just stay right there in Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 says, however, we do speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. On the contrary, we speak God's hidden wisdom in a mystery, a wisdom God predestined before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age knew this wisdom, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye did not see and ear did not hear what never entered the human mind. God prepared this for those who loved him. Now God has revealed these things to us by the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, mm-hmm. even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man that he is in him, that is in him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who comes from God, so that we may understand what has been freely given to us by God. We also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom. And that's what we got to come to, is man in our age, in this, not just this generation, but through the process of time, man has exalted wisdom, the human wisdom,
yeah.
more than God's wisdom.
Yeah.
The knowledge, the let's go to college, let's get all kind of education, let's get all kind of wisdom from the world. But what about where it says, we also speak these things not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual things to spiritual people. But the unbeliever does not welcome what comes from God's Spirit, because it's foolishness to him. He has not been able to understand it, since it is evaluated spiritually. The spiritual person, however, can evaluate everything, yet he himself cannot be evaluated by anyone. For who has known the Lord's mind that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go on and just keep reading, like I challenge you to do a word study in Proverbs. Just read the first few scriptures in almost every chapter. It just so happened that Proverbs 1, 1 through 9, Proverbs 2, 1 through 9, Proverbs 3, 1 through 8. You know, it just, they were so important. And here's what comes from Proverbs 2. It says, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. He gives us wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up success for the upright. He's a shield for those who live with integrity, so that he may guard the path of justice and protect the way of his loyal followers. And then we'll jump, because just for sake of time, because you just go read 3. It's good, too. That's where trust in the Lord with all your heart, mm-hmm. and do not lean to your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways. But 4 says, and that's chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, my son, to a father's discipline, and pay attention so that you may gain understanding. For I am giving you good instruction. Don't abandon my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender and precious to my mother, he taught me and said, your heart must hold on to my words, keep my commands, and live. And then this is so important. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't abandon wisdom, and she will watch over you. Love her, and she will guard you. For wisdom is the principal thing. Mm-hmm. Wisdom is the first thing. Wisdom is the supreme thing. So get wisdom, and whatever else you get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. And it goes on and on all through the book of Proverbs of how important it is for us to gain God's wisdom, knowledge, and then get understanding, it says. You know, he may give you a word. He may give you something. Well, go break it down and find out what's he trying to say to you.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, right there in those scriptures you just read, Proverbs 3. Anna, did you want to say something?
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Right off the bat, this is the beginning of entering into wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've got to begin to look toward him instead of where you've always been. In all your ways, acknowledge him. So many times, those scriptures, we read them, but we really don't walk them.
Right.
But I'm telling you, like, if you're a person who acknowledges him,
mm-hmm.
if he is who you say he is in your life, know that you're in a great place.
That's right.
For the wisdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
To get to you.
That's right.
I mean, it's right there. It's mm-hmm. His word is wisdom. That's where mm-hmm. you begin.
That's right.
But then the wisdom of the details of life will come up by the Spirit of God.
And the Spirit of wisdom and knowledge.
And how important it is. I love what you said when you said, you know, the world seeks wisdom. They go get the education. Mm-hmm. They mm-hmm. seek constantly. I know people who will just read all the time, keeping their minds sharp, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
No, you should.
But you should probably
read the right thing.
You probably need some of this. But anyway.
Exactly.
But why is it so important to be wise in your own eyes?
That's right.
Because there is a fake wisdom,
mm-hmm.
and there, you know, the fake. I hear people, they'll say to you, you just stepped out to do something and it was a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, big failure. I could have told you that was going to happen.
Right.
Oh, really? You mm-hmm. have that kind of wisdom, and you didn't help me.
Yeah.
You see, because they have to be wise in mm-hmm. their own eyes.
That's right.
And it's not the wisdom of God.
That's right.
It's actually devilish. It's mm-hmm. not from him at all. So if you think you have wisdom, well, who are you helping?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Helping not have a train wreck?
Mentoring, yeah.
Right?
Mentoring, yeah.
So, but anyway, these scriptures, they minister to me all the time.
That's
I don't know who I'm speaking to, because I know you quote these.
Yeah.
Trust the Lord with all your heart.
Yeah.
Okay, but did you?
Yeah.
And if you did, are you counting on the wisdom of God to direct your path?
Are you asking for it?
Yes.
You know, are you asking?
Call on
it. I mean, sometimes we just go do stuff. We don't pray. I mean, I'm guilty. You just go make a decision. I try now more because I've made mistakes. I try now more than ever to I don't really kind of just jump out anymore because I've done that and made some big major mistakes mm-hmm. and did things. So I'm real cautious now to say, hey, Todd, let's pray about that and let's get what the Lord's saying on it. And they always say you'll know when you find the peace in it. Mm-hmm. Get your peace. Get a word, you know, ask God and go with your peace
mm-hmm.
and take a step and he'll be there to meet you. And it says in Proverbs 8:32-35 says, and now my sons, listen to me. Those who keep my ways are happy. Listen to instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Anyone who listens to me is happy, watching at my doors every day, waiting by the post of my doorway. For the one who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But the one who misses me harms himself. But what it's saying is there's favor. You know, Jesus, or I don't know if it was Jesus. What was it? Can't think of the scripture reference, but it's in the New Testament where it says Jesus had favor with God and with man.
With man. Mm-hmm.
And we have favor. This is what the scriptures all say. I'll finish reading the 10,000 scriptures I have. Just kidding. I don't have that many.
And he grew in stature and wisdom.
Right.
Yeah.
And wisdom.
Right.
He could have just grown in, you know,
his wisdom will bring favor. Yeah.
But yeah. I got one that'll go along with what you just said, because when you said it, it sprung off, and it's Colossians 3. You may already have it there, but it says, let the peace of God rule
15,
in your hearts. Mm-hmm. Why? Let the peace of God be an umpire to you. Oh, no peace, don't move.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
But then let it umpire you and let you know that you're still seeking the wisdom of God because the peace wasn't there.
That's right.
Yeah, it's good.
Listen to count. This is 19:20 of Proverbs. Listen to counsel and receive instruction so that you may be wise later in life. Like, wow, okay. I mean, we need it when we're young. We also need it when we're old.
Right.
This one was kind of, this is a good one. Isaiah 11:2. Then a shoot will grow from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its roots and will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. We're talking about Jesus. A spirit of wisdom mm-hmm. and understanding, a spirit of counsel and strength, a spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight will be in the fear of the Lord. And let's look at John real quick, 14. We all know this one, too. When you see it, you'll know it. I didn't write down the reference, but it's okay.
You got it?
Yeah, I know it's John, but okay, well, okay. Oh, 15. Okay, John 14, 15. If you love me, you will keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor, comforter. What does yours say in King James?
It's counselor.
Counselor, okay. Mm-hmm. To be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. We're talking about wisdom and favor, and here's truth. The world is unable to receive him because it didn't see him or know him, but you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you. In a little while, the world will see me no longer. I've spoken these things to you while I remain with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name. He will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Mm-hmm. He brings back the Word to our memory. He gives us wisdom through the Word. He's everything. It says, in everything. He will remind you of everything I've told you, and he will give you, he said, will teach you all things. What's that other scripture that says, I have an anointing and I know all things? That's not so you could be arrogant, but it's saying the Spirit will give you wisdom beyond your comprehension, beyond what you think and how you think things are going to work out. So even today, if you're like, Lord, I just don't know what I'm going to do, trust the Lord that he will show you. Colossians 2 and 3 says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him, in Jesus. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. There's a couple things you said there that sprung. I went and looked for some other scriptures here. Have we got time for it?
Yeah.
Okay. There in 2 Peter 1, he said, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So it's there available is what I'm saying.
Right.
Everything. I love the wording because he covered it all right there.
Yes,
when he said all things that pertain to this life. Mm-hmm. And to godly life in him.
That's right.
And life here.
That's right.
And of course, we're headed to the place where they're both together. The other one was Isaiah 11. And when he said, the one you read there at verse 3 or 2, whichever one it was.
Two.
But it says this, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. He grew in not just wisdom. He grew not just in knowledge, but he grew in the fear.
The reverence and the respect.
The reverence. Yeah. So know this, you can't, if you don't fear the fact of making a move without him.
Right, exactly.
Start there.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 I think we're about ready for a break.
Yeah,
now, Pastor
Eric. We are headed to break.
Yeah, this is our hard break. Second trivia question of the morning. Who succeeded Joash as king? So Joash began his reign as 7 years old. The question for this week of kings, who succeeded Joash as king? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this morning. No answer yet for the trivia question. Who succeeded Joash as king? Amen.
So that was a hard break, huh?
Yeah, dude, that's like,
we
like
talked more than I thought.
Two second breaks.
It felt
like
a 2 second break. I had stuff to say right there.
It was important stuff.
We just have to do a legal ID.
I understand. Didn't have nothing else to say.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff. We talk a lot, so I've been shortening the breaks a little bit so we can talk more.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's thoughtful of you.
Yeah.
I bet the Lord amen that. No, we were when we were going off mic there for a second, that last scripture that I went back to that Crystal had said, Isaiah 11, the Spirit of the Lord, verse 2, shall rest upon him, talking about Jesus, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Listen, if he's got it, you got it.
That's right.
We have the
That's
mind
right.
of Christ.
That's right.
But he said the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And that's what I was telling Crystal. So many places I see that the fear of the Lord really has not, it's not where it belongs anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not there. I mean, there's a, you know, we can say, oh, it's reverence. But even in that, I don't see the reverence mm-hmm. of the Lord. I'm not saying you should go hide under a rock, but I am saying, if you're not counting on him, you probably should go hide under a rock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the spirit of the fear of the Lord, if Jesus grew in the fear
mm-hmm.
of the Lord.
Right.
The fear of God the Father. If not in a, he was not afraid of him. He said, he doesn't leave me and I always please him.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't do life without him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I was wanting to challenge people with. Are you doing life without him?
Well, that's right.
I mean, really, you can say, oh, yeah, I'm a believer. Well, what part of your life shows it?
Mm-hmm.
What part of your decisions show that you got the wisdom of God on this thing?
That's right. Yeah.
And because he's that real and mm-hmm. he wants to do it in the affairs of this life and the affairs concerning heaven itself,
right.
the kingdom of God. He's going to do it with both. Where there's no lack in any one
mm-hmm.
of them. That's why he said to Peter that day, "There, you know," he said, okay, I'm going to answer this question that, does your master pay taxes? Okay, I'll answer. Whose picture's on it? What's he doing? I'm the wisdom of God's operating mm-hmm. here. He said, give to Caesar. What's Caesar? Pay your taxes.
That's right.
But then he turns after that. On some, that was the kingdom of God, and mm-hmm. turns to Peter on a very natural thing in this world and said, go catch a fish and get our money out and pay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He dealt with the things of this life, and at the same time, he was dealing with the things of the kingdom of God.
And at that time, before people came to understand who Jesus was, they were following a man that had wisdom, that had answers, like you're talking about. He had hope for them. There was favor on him, and they saw it, and he answered them in ways that didn't comprehend with their human wisdom. It was a parable, or it was a spiritual wisdom. And so now we, because it says right here, all the treasure, I'm sorry, Colossians 2, I've already read it, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, we are in him. We have the mind of Christ. So now people should want what we have.
Mm-hmm.
People should not say, I don't want to go around those people. You know, I don't, they should be like they were with Jesus. Now, not everybody, we get that. Okay,
right,
but I'm talking about the ones that were following him. Go see a man, you know. They were following a man that had the wisdom of God and the favor of God and the anointing on him. And that's what we should be walking in, this wisdom, because we clearly read through all the Proverbs, just in the first few chapters that we read, it clearly says God wants to give us wisdom. It's that he wants to pour out his wisdom on us. So that's where we should be, is like, God, pour out your wisdom on me. I got a decision. I've got things. I got people following me. You know, they say there should be somebody following you as you're following someone.
Right.
That, you know, mentors I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about. People.
Yeah, yeah.
And so if there's nobody following you, you know, or if they are following you, I should say, then what are they seeing? Or is there favor? Is there wisdom that you can give them? Or are you just like, well, I don't know. We'll just sit here and cry
mm-hmm.
together, you know,
mm-hmm.
and maybe God will show us, or maybe God will answer our prayer. No, we go to the Word. We ask for wisdom. We stay there until we get wisdom on it.
That's
and
right.
we move in our peace.
And that's where it gets real. You know, we don't want to wait for the wisdom of God
there
to come.
Go. There you go.
We are anxious people.
Mm-hmm.
We really want to, you know, I have to make a decision today.
Right.
Do you, really?
Right.
Do you?
Exactly.
You know, because you know what? Midnight don't mean nothing to God.
Right. That's right.
What was it?
In the midnight hour.
Somebody said this yesterday. Somebody said this years ago. He said, you know, God's always on time.
Yeah.
But he's never early.
No. No.
He's always
no,
on time.
No, that midnight hour.
But if you're trusting him and you're counting on him mm-hmm. for his wisdom, it will have to be proven.
That's right.
And that's where it gets sticky. Now here I am all these years later, and I can tell you for sure
mm-hmm.
that walking in the wisdom of God is doable, and there's so much peace and rest in it, and I do it all the time.
That's right.
But back there in the beginning, I had to sweat bullets.
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to come through?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all right, are you committed, Jeannie? Are you really going to wait for the wisdom of God?
That's right. You
going to wait on the peace of God to rule in your heart? Are you going to do it? Are you going to fold up and go make a hurry-up decision to get this pressure off of me? Right?
Because we take the control back.
That's what it is.
We go right back to our human wisdom and say, well, it's not happening. God's not doing anything, so I'll just do it in myself.
I have done that.
Yeah, and I can't wait no more, God. I got to do this. And then we make a mess, and I've done it. Everybody's done it. But Ephesians 1:17, the last scripture I have, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Mm-hmm. I pray that the perception of your mind may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the glorious riches of His inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His vast strength. It says Jesus wants us to have God, the counselor, gave us a spirit of revelation and wisdom. Is that what your translation says, Jeannie?
On Ephesians?
Yeah. Oh, you're not there. 1:17.
Yeah, I'm there. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Okay.
And I love this.
In.
Where's it going to come from?
the
knowledge of Him.
Mm-hmm.
Start there.
Right.
We stress this all the time on this radio broadcast. You start it. Get in your Bible.
That's right.
Get in your Word of God. You start out by saying, Lord, show me. What is that? You're asking for wisdom.
Right.
Start showing me what I need to see.
That's right.
And then read. Then get in there.
Yeah.
And when you feel that little, what'd that say? Stay there.
Yeah.
Go back.
Right.
Hang in there. Why? He may say, he's about to say something to
you. That's
right. Oh, it's just a beautiful thing.
It never gets old.
If you only get one scripture read and he starts talking.
That's right.
And you are getting ready to understand some things. In the meantime, you're learning to walk with Him. The wisdom of God will be there.
That's right.
It will.
And the favor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the favor of the Lord will be on you. The blessing of the Lord will be on you. And we're not talking about just what you get, but you walk in a life that is at peace. You have joy. We get out of sorts sometimes. You know, things happen and pressures come and storms arise. But as we run back and say, God, I know You have wisdom on this thing. I know You can give me peace in this thing. I know that there is a word in this thing. And I'm going to sit right here and ask for the Lord to give us wisdom on it. And the hard part, Jeannie and I, our personalities are kind of the same, and we can fix things. We think we can fix things. We want to fix things.
Yeah.
And we ain't got time. Let's go fix it. And we have both gotten ourselves in messes trying to do that. But when we say, God, I'm going to let You do this, and I'm going to give it to You. And it's a hard place to sit and wait. But when we do, God will show up every time, and He will give wisdom, and He will give favor, and He will give peace, and we walk in it.
Amen.
And here's another scripture.
Go ahead.
James 1. Consider it a great joy, my brothers, when you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. But endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature, one translation says perfect, and complete, lacking nothing. Now, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and without criticizing, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For the doubter is like the surging sea, driven and tossed by the wind. The person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. An indecisive man or a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So how many times have we been double-minded on a thing? How many times have we been unstable in a thing?
Yeah, work on that.
Yeah,
Be single-minded. Ephesians 3 was the one I was looking for. And he said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his power, by his spirit, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. You say, well, okay, I got that one covered.
Right.
That you being rooted and grounded in love, well, I'm working on it and I'm doing better than I used to, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Why is he doing all that? Why do you need to be grounded there? Why do you need to be in faith in him? Because we're going to go to these next scriptures. This is getting ready to come true.
Mm-hmm.
May be able to comprehend.
Mm.
You may be able to understand.
Yes.
The breadth, the length, the depth, the height. To know the love, that means nothing left out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. How's he going to do it? According to the power that is at work in us. What you need is already with you. It's
That's
him.
Right. That's right.
He's already in you. You're not looking for the out there somewhere to come and help you and mm-hmm. rescue you. The wisdom of God is already within you.
Amen.
Now we got to get ourselves in a position to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Receive. How are we going to receive it? Well, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to don't be anxious for nothing.
Right.
I mean, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're the anxiousness is going to rise up inside mm-hmm. of you, and mm-hmm. you're going to try to take care of the situations in your life because it's natural for
yeah.
us to do that.
Yeah.
But we're going to get off the natural and get into the supernatural.
That's right.
And if we get over here in the supernatural, okay, I'm going to have to make my flesh sit down here because it's almost midnight, Lord.
Right.
But you know what he said to me one day? This is the wisdom of God that got to me. That this wisdom of God came to me in a sentence. So you call it a revelation. It's still the wisdom of God.
Oh, yeah.
And it changed my life forever, and it changed my life for every situation I face to this day.
Mm.
And he simply said, I said, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And he said this, well, that's not the end of it.
Mm. That's a good statement.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all he said to me. And from that day to this, everything I see that's trying to pressure me into mm-hmm. decisions and that's not the end of it.
That's right.
That's not the end
that's
of it.
Right.
Why? Waiting on the wisdom of God
mm-hmm.
here. It's
that's
coming.
Right.
It's
that's
within
right.
me. It's going to come up and make it to my mind. Mm-hmm. It's going to come up and get in my spirit, and I'm going to sense something that I didn't know before.
Right.
And I'm going to respond, and it will take care.
Mm-hmm.
And the peace of God, once again,
right.
will rule my heart.
Right.
Woo.
Miss Jerry, one day when I was going through the process of my healing from
uh-huh.
cancer,
uh-huh.
the treatment and all that, and before I started it all, I just got very, very anxious. I just, and I walked in her office and I said, Miss Jerry, I don't know if I can do this. And I got really emotional uh-huh. and she began to pray for me. And later on, she sent me this scripture, and it says, let the peace of Christ, I'm sorry, this is Colossians 3, verse 15. This is the Amplified, so it looks a little different. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him, be the controlling factor in your heart, deciding and settling questions that arise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's broken down, of course, in the Amplified. I'm going to read it one more time. Let the peace of Christ, the inner calm, this is what's in parentheses, the inner calm of one who walks daily with him. You can't have the peace of Christ unless you are walking with him daily, praying, asking for wisdom, praying in the Spirit, overcoming, worshiping, meditating on the Word, pondering it, just sitting on that Word, just mm-hmm. staying in that Word.
Yeah, somebody's hearing you right now and they're going, I have to do all that? I can't even remember all that. You just have to start.
That's right.
You have to start relying on him.
Start in Proverbs.
All those other things
yeah.
will start happening.
That's right.
Automatically because of your love for him and his mm-hmm. love for you. It'll mm-hmm. just happen.
That's right.
So
that's
you don't
right.
have to remember all the rules.
No.
But you
and,
do.
And they're not even rules.
They're not.
Love.
But that's, I think
they're
sometimes
love.
That's what people
yeah.
hear. Oh, I got to do that.
Because I love Christ, I want to meditate.
That's right.
Because I love
that's
Christ,
right.
I want to worship him. Because I love Christ, I want to walk with him daily. What does that mean? Like Jeannie said, you get up in the morning, you say, good morning, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe put on a worship song. Maybe run to the Bible and say, I'm going to read one verse. That's mm-hmm. what I got today. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are new. I don't know how the rest of it goes, mm-hmm. but his mercies are new every morning.
Now think
every
on
morning.
That all day.
Yeah, every morning. This is a morning.
Day.
This is the new day. And it says, let the peace of Christ, I'm just going to jump past that parenthesis, be the controlling factor in your heart. Let that rule you is what it says. The peace of Christ. Let that control every move you make. And it says, in deciding on questions that arise. To this peace, indeed, you were called as members in one body, and be thankful to God. Let the word of Christ have its home within you, in your heart and mind, permeating every aspect of your being as you teach and admonish and train one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, and this in parentheses says, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Father through him. Amen.
Amen. And you know what you're doing, all these things that we're talking about all this morning, the wisdom of God, waiting on this and walking in love and seeking after him and get in your Bible and read your word, all these things that we're talking about, it does come out of the love you have for him.
That's right.
It comes up out of the want to inside of you. But what you're actually doing, you're putting on the new man.
That's right.
Every time you do,
that's right.
You're putting on, you put your clothes on. You got up this morning, you got up this morning and began to put on the new man. You're walking in that new man. And that's what he was talking about when he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Why?
That's
so you got to put on your new man. Amen. Because it's there where you're going to see victory. It's there. What is it? What is victory? It's not you making the news tonight. It's you sitting there at the house by yourself with your Bible in front of you, and you read it and all of a sudden realize that's exactly what I need to see for this situation.
That's right.
And maybe nobody sees the victory but you and him.
Yeah. In you're standing alone sometimes in some things. That's right.
God,
but you stand on the word.
Are having a day.
That's right.
You're having a day. And you know what? You walk different when you walk out of there.
Right.
You walk different and people see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the who he is in you and who he has become to you has begun to affect every area of your life. It's not Jesus on Sunday and Morgan and Morgan on Monday. You know, it's all the time.
That's right.
I don't know how. I don't. You know, everybody's telling me I should do this, but I don't feel that I should do it. I don't feel like the Lord wants me to do that. And you go against the flow of even sometimes the church.
That's right. That
people in the church will give you the wisdom of this world for some reason.
Right.
We don't go after what God wants us to do.
Right.
Not really.
Yeah.
You know, you hear so many times in church settings, you know, we have meetings, we have things where we're going to talk about what we're going to do. And we may even pray at the beginning.
Right.
But we really don't seek the wisdom of God for this thing. Because most of the time, God makes us wait on him. Let's see how, do you really believe that my wisdom will get to you? Then wait for it.
Right.
And like I said earlier, that's going to be tested whether or not you're going to go with him on this or not.
That's right.
But boy, when it's tested and proved.
That's right.
Ooh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
That's right.
Once that happens, it's over. It's over. You'll go there every time.
You'll run to it.
That's right.
And you'll run to the wisdom, too, once you begin to say, God, you did what I never could have even dreamed of, you know, abundantly beyond anything you could ask or think. And, you know, when you experience that, you know, then you begin to say, you know what? I stopped last time and I prayed and I asked for the wisdom on it. This time, I'm not doing it to myself. Proverbs 4, wisdom is first. Get God's wisdom on the thing.
It's the principal thing.
Ask him. And then it says, whatever else you get understanding.
If you belong to him, this is the benefit of being in a relationship with the King of Kings.
That's right.
I mean, he is seated above, far above. So he has a vantage point that you can't see.
That's right.
Unless he reveals it.
I
say that to him sometimes when I'm in some struggling situations. I'll just say, Lord, show me what you see. And I do say it
that. What's the story? Was it Elijah or Elisha? Well, I always mix those two up of where he said, let them see what, you know.
Show him there's more of that, us than there are of them.
That's it. I couldn't think of it.
You need to see that sometimes.
That's right.
Yeah. You need to see there's a lot of people who walk in the wisdom of God.
That's right.
They do. And you older ones, you ones that have done this, you ones that have walked in this, begin to show others. Amen.
That's right.
Is he getting ready to come on here and say something? Are you getting ready to say something?
Do you have wisdom?
Well, a lot of people would say no. No, I was just grabbing a couple books for me here in a minute.
Okay.
I'm just listening. I think okay. it's great.
Do y'all have a guest today?
Miss Jarbo is going to come in at 8:30.
Oh, good.
She leads the choir at ECTC and some homeschool choir and just loves
like
the Lord.
Choirs. I mean, a lot of people don't like choirs. I love choirs.
Yeah, it was Hannah's choir teacher from school, and she always. I remember being in high school, and our choir for the school would always sing like worship songs and Christian songs. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
She would lead them in that, and she used that as her mission and calling. And so it's an incredible testimony.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And so.
That's awesome. I love the choir sound. I love the hymns. Mm-hmm. I love it all. I love the up-to-date stuff, and I like what some of the things that come out today.
Some of the old stuff is so precious.
Stuff, it amazes me. Some of the wording that comes back from those mm-hmm. days, how so much what they had is so still needed. Because it didn't change.
A lot of it.
We still need what they had.
Was sanctification, too. Was the holiness that they understood. Even though some of it turned into religion whatever happened. But they knew about the process of sanctification. You can hear it in their songs. Mm. You can hear about the blood. You can hear. And that's what we need to.
Yeah.
I heard a certain news program say that, the church has went to sleep. And we need to get back to where our church is waking up, and I think it is. I think we are moving into a realm where people are beginning to say, God, give me wisdom, one, what I am to do in these days, in these last days. I heard it directly from the Lord, not an audible voice. I'm not saying that, but I heard devastation is coming on the land like we've never known. And I prepared you for such a time as this. I'm not speaking gloom and doom, but I'm saying right now we're in a season of, you can see there's a little bit of freedom right now to talk about Christ, even in our nation. But there will come a time again, I just feel it in my spirit, that the world will end. And it's going to be devastating. And so we have to be prepared. I don't know if it's going to be in my lifetime or yours, Jeannie, but we need to be ready and we need to be mentors and we need to be asking God, what is the wisdom on this thing? Okay. What can I do? Where's the favor? Where do I step out?
Get strong now. Get strong in the Lord now. Get your house built. Get your foundation deep now. Because you got to stand a storm. You've got to.
And get our eyes off of ourselves.
And the storm's coming. Because he said this, blessed are you when men will revile you and mm-hmm. persecute you and say all manner of evil of you. What? For my sake.
That's right.
We haven't seen a lot of that.
No.
But it's coming.
Yeah.
And that, why? Because I have a theory. One of the reasons we don't see a lot of that is because we haven't witnessed like we should.
Right.
But when that witness of Jesus Christ goes out once again in this land like mm-hmm. it should,
right.
persecution will be heavy. Make no mistake.
That's
it
right.
was when he was here. It will happen again. Mm-hmm. And we will come together as a church and
That's
say,
right.
rejoice, mm-hmm. for we've been counted worthy
That's right.
to suffer for his name. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen those kinds of days.
That's right.
But they're coming.
They are.
Yeah.
But we're going to be ready because we want the wisdom of
That's
the Lord.
Right.
We're
going to
ask
we
the Lord for
ready.
A spirit of
That's
wisdom
right.
and knowledge, and he's going to do it.
That's right. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
All thanks.
Amen.
All mm-hmm. thanks. So wherever you find yourself today, it don't matter. If you need something in this life, mm-hmm. the wisdom of God is still in you for this life.
That's right.
But he's also there for the kingdom of heaven,
mm-hmm.
for
That's
the
right.
kingdom of God to advance. You say, I don't know how to witness. It's in there.
That's right.
It's in there. The Bible says, I think somewhere in 1 John, he said, those who love him, those who belong to him, they have the witness inside.
That's right.
What is that? That's his presence.
And he said he would give us a word. He'd put his words in our mouth. So mm-hmm. at the right time, the right place, we'll know. We'll have the wisdom of God on it. And we'll be able to speak a timely word. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Amen. Where are you going?
Nowhere, I just put my...
Oh. yep. I thought she was leaving me in the room by myself. I was like, hey, this ain't going to work for me.
I just was moving my Bible stuff over here.
I do want to say this, though, because we just got a minute or two before break.
We do want to say, you know, we honor and remember all of our veterans out there today our Veterans Day. And today's Veterans Day. And I just wanted to make sure I get that in there because we really do.
I come from a long, well, my father was a Korean vet. And then, of course, my husband's a Vietnam veteran.
Yeah.
And so we do honor and we have our flags flying.
Yeah.
And it's a privilege to say thank you to them.
Absolutely.
It's a privilege. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, I couldn't agree more.
That's right.
Freedom is never free.
Never.
It really does cost somebody something.
It does.
And we just honor and thank you for your service and your commitment and your devotion to securing and protecting our freedom.
We should pray for our veterans.
I would love that, Miss Jeannie. Why don't you pray for us on the way to break?
That's right.
Father God, as you stirred that up, I trust that that's what you wanted. That was in your heart to speak over our veterans today. And number one, I pray mostly for them, that they would understand that we honor them, that they would understand that we love them, and that we know that our life is free because they paid a price. Mm-hmm. And I pray for those whose husbands or wives or sisters or brothers were those that they were left at home, but they're still part of it. For they were connected. And Lord, I honor those that who kept their homes while the others were away. And Lord, I pray mostly that they will know that you love them above anybody else and that you desire not only to free them from some of the struggles of being in where they've been, but that you long to free them in this life in such a way that they can help their brothers and their sisters.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not hopeless, for you truly are the hope of our lives. So, Lord, I pray that word would become great wisdom to whoever's listening this morning, that you are their hope. In Jesus' name.
And
amen.
If I can, Lord, I want to just continue to press into that prayer for those veterans that may be listening this morning and struggling mentally, struggling with PTSD, struggling with suicidal thoughts, struggling with those feelings of trauma and all these things that come with war.
Yeah.
We pray that the peace, the anchor of you, that you would anchor their soul this morning, Lord, that they would feel your presence as Miss Jeannie was praying. I couldn't connect with that more. God, that they would feel your presence and they would feel your peace. And Lord, we do continue to pray that they would know your love and they would know that they are loved.
Yes.
But we speak against the suicidal thoughts. We speak against the oppressive thoughts. We speak against all that. Mm-hmm. All the trauma and all the hurt and all the woundedness. We pray, Lord, that you would intervene and move in such a mighty way. Right. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Don't you give up till you give him all your heart.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day. We do honor you, and we love you, and we appreciate you, for freedom is never free, and there was somebody that paid the ultimate cost for our freedom. So we honor you, and we thank you this Veterans Day. We will be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
All right. We are back here and excited for the rest of this broadcast this morning. Thank you guys for tuning in with us all morning, and just what a powerful conversation on being the hands and feet of Christ and just truly taking care of one another, loving our neighbor, and showing that love through giving. It really blessed me a lot this morning. So thank you all for your insight on that. And we're excited to move into the rest of this broadcast. And we have one of my favorite people with me, Miss Jarbo. It's been long since we've been together on the air, but I'm going to let her introduce herself to you guys, those of you who have not heard of her and what she does in music. So she, if anybody was wondering why I have such a connection with her, she was my choir teacher. I owe so much of where I am today with singing and just the love of singing and the love of music. I owe it to her truly. So the Lord put her in my path. My mom said, I prayed when you went to public school, the Lord would put a Christian mentor in your path, and I know it was Miss Jarbo, so I give the Lord credit for that, for putting her in my path. But I'm gonna let her introduce herself this morning.
All right, well, yep, I'm Teresa Jarbo, and as Hannah said, I'm quite a bit older than Hannah, but still very young. But my path in music has been a lot of years in public school and private school, the Christian school when we had one at Litchfield, and teaching music, all grades. And I landed in my career later as a high school, middle school choir director, and absolutely loved it. Loved everything I did, but absolutely loved doing that. Okay. I retired about 3 years ago now, and just felt like God was telling me it was time. But I am now doing smaller events and venues, and so I have a choir at the ECTC Litchfield campus, and I also do a homeschool choir. So that's those so are my fun. Two big things now.
Now, with those, I know what is just like ingrained in my memory is concerts at Clarkson Baptist, mm-hmm. but now you all use the Alice Theater, some, yes. Is that right?
Yes. When I was in public school, we had such large groups.
We had to get a big venue.
We did. We had needed a big venue, and so now with being outside of public school, the groups are smaller, mm-hmm. and so we use the Alice Theater. It's just a different and neat addition to the county, and
it's so nice. So nice to be able to use that. And I mean, even I remember it would have been so cool too, even with some of the small group things that we did.
Oh, yes.
And ensembles and things like that. But I'm excited and I'm happy that now, you know, that is available mm-hmm. for even the public schools. Yes. If they have some smaller type events that they want to do, mm-hmm. they can utilize that.
Yes. The Alice Theater is very generous with opening their doors to small events and small groups, mm-hmm. and they truly are very generous about that,
yeah.
and want to be helpful in the community.
I think so. I think that was kind of their mission. It seems mm-hmm. that their mission is really to get the word out about what we have going on in our community, mm-hmm. and by being generous,
yes.
and letting it be a place where you know, people and young people can come and share their gifts and let them be known, you know,
yes.
because there might be people in our community that don't live, you know, close to the public schools, or maybe new people who have just moved into town that don't really know what we have going on. And then, you know, if they see these events happening, they see them on social media, then they can get the word out and
right.
and just celebrate what we do have. So.
And sometimes, you know, some of the neat little things about it is, you know, sometimes you just don't want to go sit in a gym to listen to a concert.
Uh-huh.
That's that one downfall, I think, is that we don't have that big performance center
yeah.
in our county. But on a small scale, the Alice Theater is a wonderful alternative.
It's exactly, yeah, what we would need. And maybe it can be an inspiration to our county building something bigger.
Yes,
eventually.
Hopefully.
So let's go into each one, whichever one you want to start with, the college-aged, young adult-aged choir, and then we could go into the homeschool.
That sounds good. So this will be our second concert, so our second session, and the Litchfield campus, ECTC, is open, that choir is open to anyone in the community, and young adult-wise, and so that means that you do not have to pay to come be a part of us. You do not have to be a student there at the community college to be a part of us. You can just come. And so that is wonderful. People are being very generous, you know, because they certainly don't have to do that.
Yeah.
And if you were at a public college, you would, you know, a big campus, you would need to be enrolled in school and,
mm-hmm.
and all of that. But so this is just a unique opportunity.
Very unique.
Yeah. And so, for example, for this concert, then we had one practice in August, but basically September, October, and November, we practice and then we just we have a concert, and then we're off. We just take a break until the next session starts up, and so a nice long break, and so you have your busyness in Christmas, December. You don't have to worry about that commitment, mm-hmm. And I've set it up so that people can practice. I have two practices a week. One is a night, and one is a morning, so that if you're working, which basically everyone is, mm-hmm. then that gives you options of coming. And so a lot of the students come to one rehearsal a week. Some of them come to two, but there's just a lot of freedom with that. Mm-hmm. And so our concert is November the 30th, and it's, as you said, the Alice Theater at 5:00. And we're doing a few songs that are not Christmas because it is kind of early, but we're going ahead and doing a good Christmas show too.
Yeah.
And we're dressing Christmas. And anyway, I'm just excited about the whole thing.
That's exciting. And now you did bring your music, so we might as well go into some of the music.
Yes.
And I know too, you know, I talked about how Miss Jarbo, she, you know, is a woman of faith, and that's something that you could go into talking about that too, even before we go into the music, but just how the Lord has opened up doors. Really what I see is like discipleship.
Yes.
through this opportunity with music, because there's a lot of different characters. I mean, there's a lot of different personalities and people from all different walks of life that music kind of unites everyone, like in the sense of it's a common interest. It's something that, you know, I believe God gave us as a gift, and even people that don't have a relationship with Him, it connects us to something bigger, which is, I do believe Him, even without people realizing it. I believe when we start operating in a gift that He gave us, even if we don't know Him, it's like it's a part of Him.
And so I was thinking this morning when I was in my prayer time, that's exactly what I wrote. I wrote down a few thoughts, and I put, music is a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
It is, and truly in every way, it is something that we cannot even quite explain how it connects, because it touches our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And God has set eternity in our hearts.
Yeah.
And it's bigger than I can explain. But that sense of community, and it's unique because I truly believe that we should use our gifts and our talents for mm-hmm. God, and that we are being selfish when we don't use those and we keep those to ourselves. And that's not the way God intended. He didn't give them to us to just keep to ourselves. And so music and being in a part of a choir is one thing that it's a blessing to you to mm-hmm. use your gifts if you're the one singing. And it's also a blessing to the people listening, to mm-hmm. the audience, because it connects. It connects us. And so, you know, what a wonderful gift God has given us.
Yeah.
And I just think about, you know, there's so many, I'm thinking about this too, so many people in our area, and I know the tradition of choir music in Breckinridge County with Miss Tabor, and then with Mr. Phil Jennings and his wife, and it's wonderful. And, you know, I was always so proud of what we did in Grayson County, and it's the same way with Breckinridge County. There's so much talent and so much opportunity when you're in high school, and then for most people, it just sort of stops.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's such a shame.
Yeah.
And this is an opportunity for all those people, you know, that don't have a place to share that talent. This mm-hmm. is an opportunity. But as far as the music, I'm always so excited about the music. I've always, throughout my career, I only pick music that I am excited about. So I don't want to waste my time on something I'm not excited about. But I think this it's got some unique things, because the first piece we do is called Time, and it's not a Christmas song, but it's about how we just don't have time, and there's always something. And the song is just really interesting, because no time to tell them how you feel. And with the Christmas season starting, I thought that ties into Christmas really, really well, because we get lost in so many things
Busyness.
That don't matter.
Yeah.
And then we forget to tell people you know, and but it's really fast, and it's not a slow sentimental song at all, but it's just really unique.
That's cool.
And then When We All Get to Heaven, which is a hymn that if you grew up in church, you've probably sang, and we're doing that and another song called I'll Be On My Way, which is, you know, don't weep for me when I'm gone,
yeah,
because I'm in a better place. And but one of the unique things about this is When We All Get to Heaven has been arranged by one of my former choir students,
wow,
who is a student, music student at U of L, and he has embarked on this wonderful career. God has blessed him to take these old hymns and transform them somehow, and they've become more. And it's amazing what he has done. His name's Isaac Butler. He's from Caneyville. And so wow, he has arranged that. So that's really neat. And then the name of our concert is Where the Light Begins. And so
wow,
I think that just really
connects. That sounds so much like
choir.
The Lord.
I know. You know, we are the light.
Yeah.
And one thing I love about now that I have time and I don't have the busyness of public school is I could spend time on the program and putting in these little extra touches. But yeah, Where the Light Begins. And perhaps it begins with us, you know.
Yeah.
And then we go into Christmas music, and we've got some, you know, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen with the little bluegrass band, and then I Wonder As I Wonder and Silent Night and those beautiful slow pieces. And we've got this really, really interesting arrangement of Children Go Where I Send Thee that has lots of percussion. So it's going to be
really?
Like, oh.
That's awesome.
And then I have a small boys group doing Oh Holy Night.
Really?
So, yeah.
I'd love to hear the male vocals.
I know. Everybody does. Because,
It's just more, I hate to say rare, but kind of.
It is rare.
As far as men stepping out to sing. Because
mm-hmm,
somehow along the... over the years, it's people think that, you know, singing is more for, I don't know, and especially in like high school settings, I feel like school settings, that singing is more a girl thing.
Yes. Totally wrong.
Totally wrong.
totally wrong.
And it does. It's just, choir reminds me of heaven. It really does, because
yes,
of us singing, it's going to be our voices.
Right.
And it's going to be beautiful. It's going, and that's what it reminds me. And I remember different ones coming to listen to our choir concerts, and that was always something, like, it just sounds so heavenly,
mm-hmm,
you know, and when you hear that many voices joining in together, and another thing that I love about it is, you know, there's always opportunities for solos and things like that,
mm-hmm,
but when you learn to be a part of a team, because...
Yes.
When you're a part of a choir, it's not one thing, and I try to teach other kids this whenever I'm teaching them songs and I'm having them sing at the school, is we all, you know, we don't want one person trying to outshine everybody else. We sing together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing that we learn in choir, is
yes,
we want it to blend. We want one sound to be coming. And we still hear the harmonies and the differences. And there's some parts where maybe one part will shine, but it's for all to come together. And that just reminds me of the Lord, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're one body, many members, yes, but one body.
Yes.
And we are not, it's not for one person to be exalted above another, but it's to exalt him.
Yes.
And, you know, the choir is there to exalt, to shine the music and the message behind,
yes,
whatever the music is, the theme of the concert. And
yes,
there's just so many parallels.
And I think that ties in real well with the homeschool choir, because, you know, homeschool is such an amazing thing, because you get to really mold your little,
yeah,
ones, and it's so neat in so many different ways, but it's more alone time also, and so when those younger ones can be a part of a homeschool choir, then they have this group setting, and maybe for the first time they're learning about responsibility, and that, you know, you are responsible to the rest of your group, and it matters whether you're in attendance or what you're doing, because you have responsibility within that group, and so there's so many life lessons with choir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It just is. That's so good. And so let's go into a little more about that. What are the opportunities with the homeschool choir? Like, when does it start? Those sorts of things.
Okay. We do sort of the session time where we start. We have two concerts. We'll have one December 1st. That's our concert. And then we'll have one in the spring. We'll take a break, have one in the spring. But, and that, my ages go from 7 to 16. So it's unique and it's neat in that way. And we only meet once a week, and we even meet at ECTC. They've, again, been very generous when I didn't have anywhere else to meet and let us meet there. And we're also having our performance at the Alice Theater that next night. And it's just, you talk about heavenly sound. Well, what's more heavenly sounding than children's voices? You know,
yeah.
It's just unique in a different way. It makes people happy to come to concerts and see people, but there's a different little glow with the kids, because they're definitely, kids could be pretty rambunctious, even in practice. But I tell you, when they step on the stage, they are all about doing their best.
Yes.
And so it's a feel-good night.
So much. I never realized that. You know, I guess I knew that I took things seriously as a kid when I was passionate about something, but there's just so many different behavioral levels of kids and energy levels and all these things when you work with them. But when you get to the night of the performance, it's like something just happens.
Yes.
And there's just more of a reverence that comes over them,
I know.
And it is awesome because they really do. And, I just think about the innocence of children and joy.
Yes.
They just really do carry the joy. Yes. So if somebody wanted their child to join, is there like a limit or a certain size that you like to keep it? Or
No. I'm used to large groups. If I had 100 homeschool kids, I would.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
I like the large groups. So the more the merrier. God has just blessed me over the years. I've learned, to be patient, and I've learned that kids just need all the love and encouragement they can get. And, adults do too.
Yeah.
They really do. Amen. And I've just learned so many lessons through teaching choir. And so I am just open. I can work with any of the ages situations. Yeah. So
if somebody wanted to, would they just reach out to you, or when is the time? So after this concert, next concert wraps up, you said November 30th, was that just for the young adult?
That's the young adult. And then December 1st is the homeschoolers.
Okay.
Back to back nights.
Yeah. December 1st is the homeschoolers. And then when will the next set of practices start?
The next set with the homeschoolers may be closer to February, and I put that out. I try to put it out through social media as much as anything, but the Grayson County Homeschool page on Facebook, I'll put it out there for sure. And I don't know, there might be somewhere Breckenridge County I could put that out. I'm honestly not sure. Or somebody can always, I assume they could call you and get my number, and I'm fine with my number going out. So, I've just always been that way with my students.
That sounds great.
And I'll throw this out. I thought about, you being a young adult and a young mother and this new family. And with the college choir, we've always had pregnant people. and so we have several married couples.
Really?
And it's neat. And then we also, this time, that's what's been a little bit different, is that because there are so many young parents, the babies, they're bringing in car seats with their babies, and mothers are nursing during choir. It's a whole new season, and so it's just fun.
That's awesome.
It's just a neat community.
Yeah, I love community. That. And so that's something we can get on our calendar, because we really hadn't, we don't have a whole lot on our calendar right now upcoming for the Christmas, Thanksgiving mm-hmm. time. So we'll get that November 30th, December 1st, the Young Adult Choir and the Homeschool Choir. I'm sure that will be just so fun to attend. Is there any cost or is it like donation?
The homeschool will do just like donation. Uh-huh. So it's no one needs to feel pressured. But and that's basically to help the Alice Theater, because yeah. they're letting us do it for free. Mm-hmm. And but they still have to. I would just feel better giving them something yeah. to help with cleaning and the people that they have to have theirs.
Donation
workers.
Based, yeah.
And but now the college choir will be a $10 ticket.
Yeah.
And those are not live yet, but you would watch the Alice Theater page.
Yeah.
To see when those
to keep up with
goes
that.
Live. Yeah.
All right. Well, that sounds great. We'll definitely get that added on our calendar. And then homeschool parents out there, you know, I was even thinking about would a lot of private schools function almost as homeschool. So, I mean, would you accept if any private
sure.
school kids would want to get
sure.
in on this?
If we could.
Because
if
the practices are outside of school hours, right?
Well, the homeschool is a daytime thing.
Oh, it is a daytime.
But, gosh, I'm open to anything if I...
Yeah.
I'd even probably do it after hours if I had an interest there
yeah.
and do another.
Well, I mean, God, you know, the canvas is open. Let
right.
him do with it what he wants to.
Absolutely.
But that's awesome. And that's awesome that you're open to that. And I pray blessings that the Lord continues to lead and guide and in this. And what I love about it is truly, you know, people might be thinking, well, what, you know, how is, you know, choir spiritual and these things? And sometimes we fail to see God moving in things. But if we open up our mind to see, you know, God, he doesn't only move within church. You know, he wants us to cast out our nets wherever mm-hmm. we go. And I think that's
absolutely.
One reason why he gives us our talents and our giftings, you know, to bring glory to him first and foremost. But I think he's strategic in that our talents and our giftings are also going to be a net
yes.
that will be able to connect us with others and give us a place, an open door to be able to share who he is
right.
with somebody who has not yet found that.
Right.
And I know there's people that I have crossed paths with in choir that I just, maybe they didn't know the Lord at that time, but I knew that he was just pursuing them, sowing seeds into them.
Absolutely.
And I see that now. Like I see people that, you know, it's so hard to keep in contact with people after you're not in school with them anymore, but you see them out in the community, you see them through social media, and you just see how God has been with them.
Yes.
And I think anytime, any way that we can connect with others through something that's wholesome, you know, God glorifying, mm-hmm. I mean, clean, it is entertainment, you know. It's hard to find things like that. It's hard to find hobbies that aren't so infiltrated with the world, the evil of the world.
Yes.
And, you know, choir is just something that you know you're going to get wholesome. You're not gonna have to worry about holding your kids' ears and
right.
covering their eyes of, oh no, what are they gonna do next
right.
in this performance? You know,
right.
it's still, even if it's not every song straight from scripture, it is, you can see God in it, and it's wholesome, and
yes.
it's bringing glory to him.
Yes.
And that's what I appreciate about it, is things that can bring glory to him and reach people that may never have been able to be reached.
Right. Right. And absolutely, I've seen that happen time and time and time and time again.
Yeah. I mean, you've walked with a lot of different young people, seen a lot of different people grow up, so you know firsthand. And so just thank you so much for coming this morning. And I can't wait to see how God continues to grow these choirs and people and help bring people into who God has called them to be.
Yes.
So that's yes. my... Can we pray for you as we head out? And then Pastor A will take us... Pastor Aaron will take us off, and we will be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time. But I'm just going to pray us out here. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for Miss Jarbo and her heart for people, her heart for you, for music. And Lord, thank you that when we just give you our all, you can work all those things together for your good. And we just pray blessings upon her, an increased anointing upon her life to just go where you lead her to go, Lord, and give her the wisdom and the guidance of exactly what you want to do, because it's making a difference and it's going to make so much of an impact for the kingdom. And put the right kids in her path, the right young adults, the right adults, Lord, so that you may be glorified and your will be done in all of our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. We'll be back 7 a.m. Central Time on Mornings with Fox 2 Radio.